It doesn't matter where they have come from, whatever armed nations they have, if they got what belongs to me, I am going after them. The victories of the battles you will ever fight in life don't depend on any human being. They depend on what God has put within you. You are a Christian, there is no reason you should suffer any loss in life. God has deposited enough power and ability inside you. You will always win every battle.
We had begun to look at Thanksgiving. And we had defined Thanksgiving as the acknowledgement of the benevolence of another. Acknowledging the good that someone else has done for you. We heard that there were certain things that characterized the life of King David in the Bible. One of those things was praise. King David praised God every time. His life was full of praises to God. David particularly said that he will praise God according to his righteousness. He was not going to praise God because of the good things God has done for him, which is a good one. It's good to praise God because of the good things he has done for you. He wasn't going to praise God based on his feelings or his circumstances. He was going to praise God because of the righteousness of God. David understood that God is always righteous. It didn't matter how things looked like for David, he understood that God is right. In Psalms 100, in verse 4, David said, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name." The second thing that characterized the life of David was thanksgiving. Now, I have said before, if your life is praiseful, your life will be blissful. If you want the cup of your life to be full and running over, you must live a life that is thankful. If you will always thank God, if you are always thankful, your cup is going to be full and running over. These two things that characterize the life of David ensured that he lived above every circumstance and every situation of his life. It may not always look nice. It doesn't change whom God is. Praise God. In my own study and observation, I haven't found a man, not many, that has praised God and be thankful in their lives as much as King David. Now, David was also a man that experienced more challenges than nearly everybody else, both in his world before and after. His life was so full of challenges that when he was describing his life was like describing the life of Jesus, the Messiah, that was to carry the sufferings of the whole world. David's life experience typified the experience of Jesus, the Messiah, that was to carry the sufferings of the whole world. The things Jesus went through, the things Jesus suffered, which was actually the sufferings of the whole world, were adequately described by the things David suffered, the things David went through. That gives you an idea of what David experienced in his life. Life was really tough for David. But David showed that how much you can praise God, how thankful you can be of God, is not dependent on how good things look like. It's not dependent on your circumstances or the things happening around you. For the most part of David's life, he suffered rejection. You remember the story I told you of when Samuel called for his family to ordain a king, one of the eight. They brought the other seven. They didn't call David. David had to flee from Israel, and he was in exile for many years. I'm sure you might know the story. King Saul didn't want David to become king, and he did everything he could to stop David, to assassinate David. Your destiny is not in anybody's hands. It's not in any experience of life. Your destiny is concluded already with God. David was in exile for so many years. When the years in exile eventually ended, he came back to Jerusalem. And while he was in Jerusalem, he was crowned king, but only over Judah. There are 12 tribes in Israel. 10 tribes in the northern part of Israel, which is the bigger part. And the smaller part of Israel, the southern part, was referred to as Judah. When King Saul died, King David returned to Israel from exile. But when they were going to crown him king, this is God's choosing. God chose him to be king over Israel. But the northern territory, the northern kingdom, rejected David. For 7 years, David only was king over Judah. But God gave him the whole country of Israel, but men rejected. After 7 years, David eventually became king over the whole of Israel. There was something I love about David. He was never perturbed. It didn't ever matter. When they didn't call him, they called the other seven. When Saul went after him to kill him, and he fled, it's all right. There was something that David understood. He was always conscious that the Lord is with me. He said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall not be afraid. Why? Because the Lord is with me. He said, in spite of how many challenges or opposers I might have, the Lord makes a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The table table of your destiny is not in any man's hands. It's in God's hands.
I see a beauty for me. I see a great future. He was hiding from Adullam, Cave Adullam, and going to the other cave and running from tent to tent. This is the man that was anointed king by God. He was fleeing. And the man he was fleeing for was right in front of him, and he could have killed him just one strike. But he wouldn't do it. He had respect for what God has anointed. There is only one God's way to your destiny. Satan can open all other possible opportunities. Be smart. Let God's wisdom rule your life. Just one strike. Saul would have been gone. And in all human understanding, this was just. It was okay to do. Okay, he has been anointed king. So from the day he was anointed, the throne actually belonged to him. He was chosen of God. He didn't choose himself. And then this guy has been after him to kill him all this while. He actually threw a spear at him to kill him. God saved him. And then he had escaped all this while. And here he was with Saul sleeping. In case you're not familiar with the story, I'll give it to you in a minute. God anointed David as king to replace Saul. But Saul didn't want David to become king. And he went after him to kill him. And all the attempts to kill David didn't work. God kept sparing David. And here David, while hiding, and Saul was looking for him everywhere, day and night, until Saul got tired at night, he decided to sleep. And he lied down and he slept. And his soldiers slept with him. They all slept. And while David was still going about, he observed, there are certain things God will give you an opportunity to see what you will do. God brought David to where Saul was. Wow. And David's servant said, Master, God has brought your enemies into your hands. I need your instruction to strike. I won't strike more than once. And that would have just been the direct door, David becoming king. But David understands better. The principles of the world can never produce the destiny God has designed for you. You want to arrive at your God's given destiny. You must understand God's principles to life, and you must apply them. One of those things is what we are teaching today. You must live a life that is full of thanksgiving, not a life that is full of complaints. Why had this happened? Why didn't this happen? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? David said, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The life of David was full of thanks. How David went to bring the ark of the Lord into Jerusalem. And when he was coming, he was dancing. He blessed the people that came out to bring the ark along with him. He prayed for them. And then he went in to go and pray for his own household. When he got inside, Michal, one of the wives, Saul's daughter, said, long live the king. You so dance shamelessly on the street. Is that how kings behave? Everybody was looking at your underskirt. David said, I wasn't dancing before the girls on the street. I was dancing before God, who made me king in place of your father. In other words, he was claiming that, why would I not dance? Could I have been king? God chose me to be king. He was not just trying to insult the woman, because go and read the scriptures. The woman already got insulted by God, because the Bible said that woman never gave birth to a child for the rest of her life because of what she said. So it wasn't David. That was between her and God. But David was trying to tell her why he danced the way he danced. I am thankful to God. It would have been nothing. I was pulled out from the bush to come and replace a king. But listen, Saul, who was not thankful, was also pulled out from bush and put on the throne.
He was out looking for an animal, just one sheep that was missing. He was out looking for a wanderer, looking for a sheep that is missing. And God picked him and made him king. He forgot. When he became king, he was telling Samuel, don't let people hear what you are saying. Honor me before the people. God said, okay, he has become king. I can't talk to him anymore. But the life of David was full of thanksgiving. If David made a mistake, there was not one mistake David made the second time all his life. If he made a mistake and then God sent somebody to tell him, I'm so sorry. I could have done that. In Psalms 100 verse 4, he says, enter into his gate with thanksgiving and into his court with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Listen, as I'm speaking to you right now, I don't imagine many who don't have any issue or concern. It could be you or concerning you or your daughter or your son or your mom or your dad or your wife or your husband or your... Listen, when I was teaching on praise, how David chose to praise God according to the righteousness of God, I said something. If you understand the righteousness of God, it will be easy for you to praise God in spite of your circumstance. And when you also understand the righteousness of God, it will be easy for you to thank God in spite of your circumstance. I sing a lot of thanksgiving to God, not only because of the good things he has done for me. And honestly speaking, if I have to count for you how good God has been to me, we'll be here till next tomorrow. I'm just beginning. But my thanksgiving to God is because of who he is to me. Let's look at Jonah chapter 2, verse 8. I have talked about this guy Jonah before. Jonah found himself in the belly of the fish, and he was there for 3 days and three nights. He was swallowed by the fish. And while he was in the belly of the fish, God kept him alive and gave him consciousness. And in the belly of the fish, Jonah began to talk to God. Let's look from verse 1. It might help us to understand. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Verse 2. And said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest me. This is his prayer. And said, he prayed and said, so this is his prayer. I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest me. This is his prayer. He has not prayed any other prayer, but he's declaring in his prayer that I was in the belly of hell. Is hell too far from where he was? Inside the fish belly. So he said, I was in the belly of hell. Because you have never been there, so you don't know what experience that man had. Inside the fish belly. In fact, there's no better way to describe it than to call it hell. I cried. Out of the belly of hell, cried I. He said, and thou heardest me. This is his prayer, but he's declaring the prayer that God, you have heard me. I love this man's prayer. He is praying it as though it has happened. Why can you be talking like that? He knows that God is just so good that he could never leave me in trouble. He's just so good. In fact, he didn't need to be praying, God, please save me. Say, God, you have saved me when I cry. When I called upon you, you saved me. Are you seeing how to pray aright? He said, I cried in the belly of hell, and you heard me. Next verse. For thou hast cast me into the deep. He knew how he got there. Verse 8. Look at what he says. He says, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. This man was inside the belly of fish. There was no hope of ever coming out. Inside the belly of fish, what next? He was going to die there. But he was speaking. And he said, I cried and you heard me already. He said, and we skip to this point. He says, they that observe lying vanities, they forsake their mercy. What was he talking about? He was saying that the circumstances that surround you, they are not real. They are not real. They are vanities. You know what's vanities? Okay, the ladies that are here, if you do nail, you paint your nail, there is a kind of liquid for removing your nail cutters. Not many ladies here paint your fingers?
No.
Not many. I don't paint my bed. I know what I'm talking about. I got sisters who do. Now, that nail remover, whatever it's called, when it pours on the ground, before you go and bring a cloth to come and clean it, it has evaporated. It's vanity. If you are traveling along a road, a tar road, in a hot day, far away, you will see something that looks like a pool of water, a mirage. By the time you get to that point, it's not there anymore. It's a mirage. That's a vanity. Things that look like they are there, but they are not real. They are vanities. They will vanish. That's where we get the word vanity. They will vanish. They might look real because you are experiencing it, but they are not real because they are going to vanish away. So Jonah says, they that observe lying vanities, there are vanities. They are lying to you. They are telling you that we are real. There's a challenge. There's a problem. He's telling you are not getting out of this problem. There's no hope. You see how bad this thing is? This person, this one, the other person suffered this kind of thing. That's how the whole thing ended. Then situations begin to describe to you as if there is no hope. But Jonah said they are lying. The circumstance is not real. They are lying. He said, but people who put their mind and cast their mind observing lying vanities, they are looking at the way things look like, and their mind is carried away along the way things look like. He said, they that observe lying vanities, he says, they forsake their own mercy. He didn't say they forsake their mercy, they forsake their own mercy. What did this guy know by revelation? He knew that every person's got mercy from God. The situation you are in, there is a mercy God has assigned to that situation for you already. Before you arrived there, there was a mercy of God. Now, I've told you what the mercy of God is. The mercy of God is not just, okay, you did wrong yesterday, I forgive you. That is beyond that. The mercy of God is the power and presence of God that is at work on your behalf. What you could not solve, the mercy of God comes and brings an answer. The mercy of God is God's grace poured on your life for whatever situation you might be. We saw how David said, praise the Lord, for his mercies endureth forever. Which means the mercy of God that has been apportioned to your life, until you win in that situation, that mercy is remaining there. It can't go. It says, they that observe lying vanities, they forsake their own mercy. They that observe lying vanities, they forsake their own mercy. So why cast your mind on things that are not real? Cast your mind on the word of God, because it is the word of God that is real. So when your mind is always on the word of God, it is easy to praise God. It's easy to be thankful. Father, I thank you because I have the answer. I thank you, Lord, because my life is moving forward. I thank you, Lord, because the victory is mine. No weapon that is formed against me ever prospers. Your glory is upon my life. Irrespective of what the situation looks like, it's lying. Let God be true and every circumstance be a lie. And then when you come in to praise God, to thank God in your life, instead of putting your mind on how things look like, you put your mind on the mercies of God.
And that was why David said,
I will sing all the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing. Circumstances that look very unfavorable around David, but he was singing.
But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. This is somebody's prayer in the belly of the fish. He said, my life will be full of thanksgiving. I will be thanking you all the time. I will not stop thanking you. Irrespective of what happens, I will keep thanking you. I know that it doesn't matter what is going around me. I've not seen all these things. I have seen that I will be on the land thanking you someday, giving you sacrifice and paying my vows. It's still in the belly of the fish. I will be on the land giving you sacrifice. This is somebody in the belly of the fish. Next verse. And the Lord spake unto the fish. There's some kind of prayer that God will not let go to for too long. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited Jonah on dry land. If you will know how to thank God, that situation will change more quickly than you can imagine. Let's quickly look at Genesis chapter 8. I'd like you to read Genesis chapter 8. From verse 10 to the end by yourself. But I will give you an insight into what you are going to read. It was an account of how Noah, when he came out of the ark, he gave God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And when he gave God that sacrifice, God smelled it. And he said, wow, this is lovely. And I explained, I think it was on Wednesday, what made that sacrifice lovely. It was because this guy was giving God the best of what he had. Now, I said to Ross, I think it was on Wednesday, it is not about how much, it's about the heart. Is the heart. When this man did thanksgiving unto God, God removed all the troubles that has been in his life from generations before him. The curse that was upon man or upon the land because of man was removed because of thanksgiving. And then God made a deal, a promise to Noah that from you, because of what you have done, are never going to plague man with this kind of thing anymore. There was security for him and for his children, even till us, till today, because of what Noah did. Brothers and sisters, you must understand, there is so much you can make happen for your life if you understand thanksgiving. Every day of your life, when you wake up, give God some thanks. God, I thank you. It's a privilege to be alive. I thank you. God, I thank you because you love me, and I'm very sure about that. You're not worried about the circumstances that you are faced with. They are there. But because God loves you, those circumstances are not real. So you cast your heart on the love of God. If you can do that, you can actually thank God. And just like David, you can begin to sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. The advantage of singing songs. Songs help to transport your mind away from whatever circumstances there is to a different environment. The environment of victory. The environment of success. Let me leave you with this. Don't just hear this sermon. Make up your mind that every day in your life, you are going to give God some quality praise. Every day in your life, I'm going to give God some quality praise. And I'm going to thank Him. Now, let me tell you one dark spot you could hit if you understand this. By the time you have develop this culture. Look forward to a time when things really look unpleasant. When things really look unpleasant, when it could have been really very hard and difficult to praise God. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Then put it to work.
That is a sacrifice of praise. This is time that I could have sat down and been wondering why this happened. It's a time that I would have been wondering, where is God? What is going on? That is the time. But here, I came out of it. I leave the matter where it is, and I begin to praise God. Hallelujah. Are you seeing what I'm doing? Real. I praise you every day. Really singing and dancing. If you have to put on a YouTube video, if you got to put on something, go ahead and put on something and really dance with your heart praising God. When you do this, heaven is going to stand up. This man left the matter. Look at what he's doing. God says, Gabriel, get down quickly. Get down quickly. We need to do something. That was what happened in Jonah chapter 2 verse 10. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited Jonah upon dry land. Quickly. That guy can't remain any further in there. That's the life that you must live. A life that we celebrate God's goodness every time. Praise God.
We trust that you have been blessed by this message. If you have not been born again, I want to lead you into salvation right now, the Bible way. This is your opportunity to receive salvation. Say these words after me and mean them from the bottom of your heart, and God will hear you. Say, "Oh Lord God, I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I believe He died on the cross to save my soul. I believe God raised Him from the dead, and He is alive today. I confess with my mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. From this day, I receive by faith eternal life into my heart. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I have eternal life now. I am born again. I am a child of God. From this day, amen." Congratulations, you are now a child of God. To receive more information on how you can grow as a Christian, please send us an email at cesydney@gmail.com. That is cesydney@gmail.com. God bless you.